Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
Half a million Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, all you do, going beyond the headlines and focusing on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
First hard fact of the day, 1,378 new confirmed COVID cases over the weekend. It's a drop of about 400 from last weekend. We had 453 cases in Lagos. It's also a reduction. So good job, everybody. It seems like all the precautions that we took last week paid off. But remember that this is not over. COVID has not relaxed. So please don't relax. Continue to limit your movement. When you have to go out, wear a mask. When you are out and about, keep your distance from people whenever you can. And wash and sanitize your hands as frequently as possible. That one is a simple hygiene, hygiene advice. It's basic hygiene. Just wash your hands as often as possible. Sanitize your hands as often as possible. Let's do our part until we can all get vaccinated. Second hard fact of the day, phase two of COVID vaccinations is ongoing. If you have not gotten your jabs yet, make arrangements to do so. Go down to your nearest primary health care center. By the way, if you've already gotten your first dose, but you haven't gotten your second dose, Lagos State says you can get your second dose. So find the nearest health center. Actually, if you got AstraZeneca as your first dose, go back to where you got the first dose. That's where you'll get your second dose. But remember, of course, that you cannot get AstraZeneca as your first dose and then get Moderna as your second dose. Same for Moderna. If you get Moderna as your first dose, you have to get Moderna as your second dose. All right. Third hard fact of the day, voter registration is ongoing. You can register online. Just go to cvr.inecnigeria.org. cvr.inecnigeria.org. So CVR, C for Charlie, V for Victor, R for River, ORG, O for Orange, R for River, G for Gulf. We've got a fourth hard fact for the day. The Twitter ban is 100 days old. Over 3 months ago, the federal executive, through the NCC, ordered all telcos to stop carrying traffic to Twitter. Also, the NBC ordered all broadcast houses to stop reading messages from Twitter on air and also stop using their handles. On the legislative side, the National Assembly eventually decided not to stop the ban. We saw minority caucus members walk out in protest, while House of Reps Speaker Femi Bajabiamila later said that the ban was in order. On the executive side, we're told that negotiations are ongoing between the government and Twitter. A month ago, Information Minister Lai Mohammed said that the ban will soon be over. A month ago. Because Twitter had agreed to almost all government's demands. Twitter never corroborated that statement. But now, more than a month later, the ban is still on. The alleged imminent agreement never materialized. Twitter doesn't seem particularly interested, since Nigeria is not one of their major sources of advertising revenue. Nigerian SMEs seem to be the most affected by the ban. So influencers, vendors, social media handlers, all of them are reporting lost business. Nigerians are still tweeting using VPNs. But many of them you know, haven't figured out how to use VPNs yet, or it's too expensive a service for them to add to their expenses, and so it's staying that way. At one point, the Office of the Attorney General said that Nigerians who were using Twitter would be prosecuted, but they later walked that statement back when Nigerians questioned its legality. And speaking of legality, there are multiple lawsuits challenging the Twitter ban on telcos and the media. These cases are both in local courts and at the ECOWAS court. The challengers insist that the Twitter ban violates Nigerians' right to freedom of speech and dissemination of information, which are both enshrined in the Constitution. And so it seems like only two things can end the Twitter ban: the executive getting tired, declaring victory, and going home, or the courts stepping in to tell them they went too far. Which one do you think it will be? Well, there's no ban on hard facts, so 1 million Lagosians cannot be wrong for listening. I have a great show for you, starting with the big weekend. Let's talk about the appeal court's stay of execution in the battle over VAT. Their stay of execution order. Then let's talk about state governments going after other taxes, like income tax and stamp duty. Then let's talk about Monserrat Ojuade, the 18-year-old girl killed by a police stray bullet. Let's also talk about Serap asking President Buhari to end the telecoms shutdown in Zamfara. And then let's talk about the National Industrial Court threatening the resident doctors' leadership with jail time for refusing to end the strike. And the doctors saying, get a bigger prison. On Madam Landlord today, we're going to talk about real estate fraud. Have you ever been a victim of real estate fraud? Have you bought land somewhere and it was, it was a fraudulent dealing? How about a house somewhere and it was fraudulent? Let's talk about that at 4 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, let's talk some more about the VAT battle. We're going to be looking at the legal angles as well as the practicalities and the effect on business. I have two expert guests who will be joining me at 5 o'clock. As usual, we're going to bring you news updates every hour on the hour, but let's get right into the big weekend. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. Questions. What does status quo mean in the VAT battle? What does that mean? Will stamp duty and income tax also become battlegrounds? And why do police kill so many innocent bystanders with stray bullets? Does the Zamfara shutdown have security benefits, and do they outweigh the economic costs? Is the NARD in contempt of court? It was a big weekend, Lagos. Let's talk about it. Let's start with VAT. The appeal court in Abuja says Rivers State and the FIRS should maintain status quo while the case is judged. And now there's a bit of a debate about what status quo means. I wish Liberos was still here. I'd have asked him, you know, what it means in this case. The FIRS and the supporters of the FIRS say that the order means FIRS should continue collecting VAT and that the River State government should suspend its plans to do so. But there's a counter argument. Here's what Michael Zekome had to say. He's a human rights lawyer and he's a senior advocate of Nigeria. He said, quote, clearly, the status quo antebellum was before the breakout of the hostilities. The hostilities broke out when the FIRS dragged the River State government to court, arguing that it cannot collect VAT based on its law. The said law was already duly passed and made operational by the River State House of Assembly, that it has the constitutional competency under Section 4 of the Constitution to do so. The FHC, Port Harcourt, River State, had earlier held that it was the River State government that was competent to collect VAT, not the FIRS. The law was already, therefore, in operation before the FIRS challenged the validity of an FHC judgment that had given the River State government the power to collect the VAT. So the status quo is that it is the River State government that has the power to collect VAT, until perhaps the Court of Appeal rules otherwise and set aside the FHC judgment, end quote. So I just read you the words of Michael Zekome, and I want to know which side of the debate that you are leaning towards. If you're a lawyer, especially, I want to hear from you today. Meanwhile, the Lagos State government says it's riding with Reversal. Lagos State government wants to be joined in the FIRS lawsuit on River State's side. That's, of course, because Lagos State has passed its own VAT law. Meanwhile, the PDP has come out to support the moves by Lagos and River States. First of all, we heard from Senate Minority Leader Enyinnaya Abaribe, and he said, quote, "There should not be any controversy. Rivers and Lagos States are right. VAT collection by FIRS is not in the Constitution. Also, it affirms fiscal federalism, which Nigerians have been clamoring for. Let states now put on their thinking cap and be creative in enhancing their revenue bases. It's a good development," end quote. Oh, speaking of the Constitution, I told you last week that the FIRS is asking the National Assembly to amend the Constitution and put VAT on the exclusive list. Another PDP senator says that there's no way this happens. His name is George Sekibo. He's from River State. And he said, quote, "I know we are amending the Constitution now. I dare the committee to bring it to the floor of the Senate. It will die because they will not get the required two-thirds to pass it. Even if they manage to get it to the National Assembly level, they will not get it at the state level. And if we don't support it in southern Nigeria, the FIRS proposal will die," end quote. And speaking of southern Nigeria, PDP's national vice chairman, South South, is asking all the states in the region to emulate River State. His name is Chief Dan Obi. And he said, quote, "Yes, one must commend the innovative and painstaking pursuit of this case by Governor Yusuf Mwike of Rivers. This is a big window for the South-South states to achieve the long-desired quest for fiscal federalism. With this development, the long-desired dream of many Nigerians for equitable distribution of resources has been given a very strong push. This is a bold and salutary move in restructuring our tax collection system. The soundness in the economics of Mwike's action is seen in the speed with which Lagos State moved in the same direction towards pursuing the same objective. I call on other state governors, especially in the South-South, to move with dispatch in support of VAT collection and retention by states. And I say to them, the South-South governors, act now that the iron is hot," end quote. And some of the South-South governments say that they are looking to act. Akwa Ibom is working on its own VAT law. Members of the Edo, Bayelsa and Delta assemblies say they're looking into making theirs as well. Cross River says they're thinking about it. And outside the South-South, other states are also making plans. Ondo, Ogun, Taraba states, for example. On the other hand, Kaduna says it will not go against the federal government unless there's a Supreme Court judgment. Osun is also waiting for the Supreme Court. So that's the latest. I did my best to put everything that's happened with VAT over the weekend into one story, into 6 minutes. What do you think, Lagos? Should other South states follow reverse states? If you're a lawyer, Biko, let me hear from you. What do you think about Michael Zekome's interpretation of what the status quo is? 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. 0700-993-993-993. Women, call me on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. That's for women. And then, of course, we've got WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. We've got Comrade Opanago from Agege on the line. Comrade Opanago, welcome.
Yes, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon.
Look, Michael Zekume, who always like confusing Nigerians on this law interpretation.
Okay.
Status quo clearly means that the both parties should maintain the status quo, the existing status quo, that the federal government have been collecting this VAT, that they should continue until the determination of the existing law. So,
can I ask if you're a lawyer?
I am not a lawyer.
Okay, but he explained why he got to his own conclusion about status quo.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Nigeria Constitution is not meant for the lawyers alone, but for Nigerians.
Yes,
of course. You can read it and develop it very well.
Of course.
And that is what I'm saying. So it should not come and confuse anybody.
Okay.
The status quo, that is what status quo means. And we must abide by that. Good afternoon.
All right, Comrade Opanago. Thank you very much. Now, of course, Ozekome explained how he got to his own reasons. Now, I was hoping that Comrade Opanago could, talk a bit more about why exactly he disagrees. Because if you discount what Ozekome said about, well, the Federal High Court had already given a ruling on this thing before the ruling was taken to the appeal court, right? So I would have loved to hear Comrade Opanago's explanation for that, how he explains that. But yeah, hopefully he calls back. 99.3, hello. Oh, sorry about that. Call back if you can. 0700-993.
Yeah, how are you? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
Yeah, I'm Daniel. I'm calling from Ifako.
Welcome, Daniel.
Ifako Jai.
Welcome, yeah. Daniel.
Yes, based on the position of Dr. Ozekume, status quo can mean anything.
Okay.
It could mean the resolution of the High Court judgment, and it could mean what has been in practice. So the lawyers, they all have a way to suit their own position and their own stand. Mm. And that is why we are clamoring that they should expedite hearing on this issue. It's very good that they expedite hearing on this issue, because if I want to talk of status quo, I want to align with Ozekume. And any other person that want to align with the first position of VAT being collected by federal inland. Mm. We still have a point. So we are begging the court. We are begging the court, and this is why we normally have injustice, because when the wheel of justice is becoming too slow, injustice is very, very inevitable. So we want the court to expedite action, to expedite hearing on this particular issue, so that we all know where we are. And I can tell you for free, from all what I've tried to analyze on this issue, the VAT of a thing has a lot of headquarter effect. And this is not something anybody, especially the state, should just rejoice on. For example, if I'm in Ogun State now, I load a credit card. I use my credit card in Ogun State. Who do I pay VAT to? But somebody will be in Abuja because of the headquarter effect. When you want to pay back, because of the headquarter effect that I had, when you want to pay back, because the headquarter is in Abuja, he pays in Abuja, but I use this thing in Ogun State or in Lagos State. So these governors, they have to be very, very careful.
Okay.
They have to be very careful. All of them have to come to the round table. Perhaps they look at the sharing formula to make it better, because this VAT of a thing. It's a consumption issue.
Okay.
And what we have been having in the issue of paying VAT is the issue of headquarter effect. Headquarter effect has got a lot of role to play. Even the River State, River State that is even, it will be shortchanged. Because majority of the oil company or the oil company that operate in River State, in Neket, in Akwa Ibom, majority of them are in Lagos here.
Right.
So what are we saying? So all these things has a very, very, in fact, is a very great discussion that we need to be very calm and, you know, we need to be very calm and be very diplomatic about.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ope Innocent on Facebook says, Sandra, Liboros Oshoma has said it, that status quo here means that Rivers and Lagos should continue collecting VAT for now. Okay. Debo Alda says, except the appeal court expressly and unambiguously nullified the previous court judgment, the term status quo is in favor of the state government. That will sustain till the Supreme Court decides otherwise. Obadiah Achi says, VAT status quo means all laws passed by State Assembly should be null and void as they continue their remittances to the FIRS, which is the center. Leslie Okosi on Facebook says, status quo, federal government continues with VAT collection. All right, let's keep those thoughts coming in. I quite like this. When we come back from the break, River State's VAT move has started a trend, or it may have started a trend. We're seeing other states jump on the bandwagon, but we're also seeing other states going after other taxes. We'll talk about those taxes when we come back from a commercial break. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria.
Welcome back to your number one talk news and sports station. This is Nigeria Info.
On Friday, all 36 states are suing the federal government over stamp duties. They want the Supreme Court to compel the federal executive to account for and remit the state's share of stamp duties collected since 2015. They believe that it amounts to 176 billion naira. Stamp duties are charged on specific transactions. So, for example, bank transfers. Before today, the federal government has been collecting stamp duties on behalf of all governments and was supposed to redistribute it. But now the states are also saying that they should do it directly based on the constitution. But there's also a brewing tax. Tax fight between states over income tax. Bayelsa Governor Doye Diri says it's unfair that oil workers in his state pay their income taxes in Lagos. Most of the oil companies are headquartered in Lagos. And even though in 2017, when Oshimbajo was acting president and ordered oil companies to relocate to the Niger Delta, and also ordered income tax to be paid to where your company is headquartered, Diri says that this situation is unacceptable. Now, in the past, some IOCs have said that they cannot relocate their HQs to the Niger Delta because of insecurity. Diri says that this is ridiculous. He says Bayelsa state is safer than most other states in Nigeria. Also, if the state is safe enough for oil and gas operations, why isn't it safe enough for oil and gas corporate affairs? Either way, Diri wants the IOCs to start sending employee income tax to Bayelsa. Do you agree? Like I said earlier, we're diving deeper into these tax issues at 5 o'clock. I'll have two guests with me. One of them is a tax lawyer. The other one is a tax man from PwC. So they'll be here 5 p.m. They'll answer some of these questions. But right now, let's talk to each other. Huh? Lagos, what do you think about all 36 state governments, both APC and PDP, suing the federal government over stamp duty? Is Governor Doye Diri correct to say that oil companies should direct the income tax of their Bayelsa-based workers to Bayelsa, not Lagos or Rivers? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We've got Joy in Surulere on the line. Hello, Joy.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. How are you? Welcome.
Can I comment again on the status quo issue?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
All right. I just want to say that I disagree with one of your colleagues who said that the Constitution is meant for everybody to interpret.
Okay.
If it is so, then there will be no need for people, you know, to wait 5 years and go to law school or study law.
Okay.
So I think his name is it's completely I don't agree with him.
Okay. All right, Joy.
Okay,
thank you very much. I think that's all Joy wanted to call and say. 99.3, hello.
Yeah, Sandra.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
This is Baba G on the line.
Welcome, Baba G.
Quickly, first, I'm not a lawyer. And when you read out what Chief Michael Zekuman said, that was not a... But the way I understand statu quo depends your interpretation.
Okay.
Like what I'm hearing now, they started collecting the taxes after the state high court.
Federal high court.
The federal high court passed the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So if they pronounce maintain the status quo, invariably they started collecting, they should continue before the hearing. And I listened to the lawyer, China's television, when they led the court in Abuja.
Mm.
The lawyer said that Lagos State said they should join them. Into the suit, and at the end of the day, they are still waiting, you know, before the hearing.
Mm.
And that is very weird. And if you look at what is, you know, it's like the restructuring has started, the true physical federalism, a situation whereby Sandra, look at the statistics from Wiki that said only River State, almost 60 billion, and you give River State back 4.3 billion. Labor State, 46 billion, just 9 billion. And Kano, 2.8 billion. Now you give Kano back the same 2.8 billion. Who does that? There's no way in the world you can see. I'm going to understand the people.
Oh, Babaji, unfortunately, your network is bad, and so it's affecting the quality of our conversation. But we do hope that you can call us back so that we can keep talking. On Facebook, Callistus Kalibunke Mwabu Iku says, status quo means that our wives will continue to use the same amount of money they used to cook soup and stew in January till the end of this year, even though the prices of cooking gas and kerosene have gone up. All right. Benjamin is in Ikeja. Hello, Benjamin.
Hello. Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, it's nice speaking with you this afternoon.
You too.
Yeah, Sandra, on a quick one, the National Assembly, it was a unanimous agreement, and they passed this with the federal government that let every tax be collected, let every state collect their tax by themselves and generate their tax, which we understand as citizens.
It wasn't National Assembly that did it, it was state assemblies that did it with the state governments.
Yes, I said it was passed by the National Assembly. Then let every state collect its own tax, become an independent body. That's, I'm trying to correct my statement.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, if National Assembly passed such bill and they are asking every state to generate its own tax, they shouldn't depend on federal government again. It's fine. It's very clear. But you see, the reason why these two governors from the state, River and Lagos State, because they are the highest generator of taxes in Nigeria, and they see this coming, and they fast tracked it, and that was the reason why these two people, they passed in their bill instantly, and they by doing that they want to collect the tax instantly. But unfortunately, the FRCN who generated tax to the federal government pocket, they decided to go to sue these two people to court. And which now said that the court now gave them that, like, let everybody maintain the status quo. The status quo there now is now a comment to the two parties that they should maintain. That is based on what the National Assembly said. They should maintain the laws and order first before anything can be done.
Okay, Benjamin, thank you very much for calling. We've got Dom Maka Abi on Facebook who says, President Sandra, when it comes to law, lawyers and judges or the Supreme Court have the final say in interpretation of law. Comrade Obanago is wrong. Laymen don't interpret law. The courts should give judgment untainted by political motives. On stamp duties, the states are in order with their case. We've got Nyeka Justice who says, our corrupt leaders are fighting. The problem of corruption starts from our governors. All Nigerian governors are coming with corrupt mind. Justice, I'm not sure what you're trying to write. Pope Stan says, okay, no, I'm not going to read that on air. We've got Obadiah Achi who says, status quo means all laws passed by state assemblies should be null and void as they continue their remittances to the FIRS, which is the center. Chukwujekwu James Ogum says, the court have said that the state have the right to collect VAT before. So that first judgment stands until another court quashes that judgment, until the first pronouncement stands in favor of the states. Okay. Thank you very much, Chukwujekwu. Let's bring you our next story that broke over the weekend. Police allegedly shot and killed an innocent bystander on Sunday night. It happened here in Lagos in Surulere. Monserrat Ojuade was 18 years old. She was just a recent graduate. She just wrote a UTME. She scored 236. And on the night that she was killed, she was helping her mother. Her mother is a petty trader. Her shop is in front of their house. Monserrat was closing up the shop that night when she and her sisters heard a commotion and saw people running towards them. They ran into the compound, raised alarm. Their mother rushed to lock the gate behind them. That's when the police allegedly rushed them. Apparently, they were chasing some suspects down the street. So when they saw Monserrat and her family scrambling for the gate, they chased them down. Somehow, in all that commotion, an officer shot into the compound and Monserrat was hit. The bullet went through both her legs. She bled to death while her family tried to get her to a hospital. And now the family wants justice. The police command has said that the officer who allegedly fired the shot has been detained and will be facing an investigation and possible prosecution. But this is not the first time that this has happened. For the last couple of months, we've been talking about Jumoke Oyeleke. You remember her? She was a bystander who was shot at the Yoruba Nation rally. Eyewitnesses said that it was a stray bullet from police. Police first claimed that she was stabbed, but after a post-mortem showed that she'd been shot, police then arrested a protester as the suspected shooter. And these are just two cases. Over the years, we've seen so many stray bullet situations involving the police. And that's why I want us to talk yet again about how police handles situations involving the public. Why are we seeing so many innocent bystanders getting shot? During NSAS protests, that's how a young boy in Oyo State was killed. Well, not a young boy, a young man, because he was married with a kid on the way, or two kids. Why are we seeing so many bystanders getting shot? Why isn't it leading to a reform of how the police are trained and their rules of engagement? What should be done to get the problem of trigger-happy police officers under control? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. We're going to come to WhatsApp in a bit, but let's talk to Paul first. Paul is Negbeda. Hello, Paul. Hello, Paul.
Yeah, Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for calling us.
Yeah, I want to talk about the VAT issue.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, what is the rationale behind Kano generating $2.8 billion and the $2.8 billion was returned back to them, and then Lagos generating about $14.8 billion. And $4.something billion was returned. What is the rationale behind it? Is it based on population or what? Because the thing is very confusing. Then secondly, is it good to rob Peter to pay Paul, as they religiously use that terminology, that somebody will labor so much, and for example, a salary earner, you are laboring so much, every morning by 4 o'clock you woke up and you go to office, at the end of the day, the salary that is paid to you, your father collects it from you or your husband collects it from you and share it to the other members of the family that are not doing anything per se. Then I'm asking you to continue to labor. So I don't know the justice that is behind this sharing of that. For me, I think in a true physical federalism, each state should collect their tax and pay a percentage to the center. That is what true federalism, and that is the beauty of democracy. If you remove these beauties of democracy and dividends of democracy, then it's like we're under military regime where autocracy and degrees, you know, becomes the order of the day. So I want to believe that what Ozekome said actually fall in line. The last judgment by a competent court is that Lagos State and River State should collect their VAT. That is the status quo that is presently legally binding according to law and which have been signed into law. So he, for me, he's not making a mistake.
Okay.
That is number one. Then concerning the issue of a happy trigger policeman, I don't know that terminology. Does it go well?
Yes.
What will make a policeman to be happy? Then you cock your gun and shoot. I think it all reflects the way and the manner our police officers are trained. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, the value they place on human beings. The moment they are wearing that uniform, it's like they're on top of the world. They don't consider you as a human being again. And they can tell you anything. I told you in your program here one night, my wife was heavily down and we had to rush. I was rushing her to hospital. The way the police treated us that night, not minding the life of my wife, was a terrible experience I've ever had in my life. Even explaining to them, look at the condition of this woman, they still cocked their gun as if I was a criminal, you know?
Yeah.
So it's their training is absolutely not reflecting in today's lifestyle. They should be, that man should be tried and possibly let the law take its effect. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul, for calling. Well, Paul had a question about how does a state like Kano putting $2.4 billion and get the $2.4 billion back? Well, it's the VAT is distributed based on three criteria. Number one, origin of the revenue, 20%, population, 30%, equality of all states, 50%. That's how the distribution is done. That's how a state like that ends up remitting a certain amount and getting that amount back in return. Let's move on to Zamfara State, where the government says that the restrictions are helping the fight against terrorists. But some civil society organizations are saying that the human rights costs are too high. As you know, the government ordered a shutdown of telecoms and banking services in Zamfara. The goal was to make it harder for terror groups to communicate and operate so that the security agencies can flush them out. Now, Governor Bello Matawalle says the terror groups are begging for mercy. He says the army and police are hitting them hard. And so they're either fleeing the state or they're asking for amnesty. But Matale says amnesty is in the past, that it's off the table, that it's off the table permanently. He says his government offered the terror groups amnesty in the past, but they betrayed the terms and went back to kidnappings and other attacks. So this time it's going to be a fight to the finish. But not everybody is in support of these shutdown measures. Serap says that they are in violation of the rights of the innocent people in the state. The group has written an open letter to President Buhari asking him to order the NCC to lift the telecoms ban. The letter said, quote, "The suspension of the internet and telecommunications network in Zamfara and Katsina states without any legal justification is inconsistent with the principles of necessity and proportionality. The suspension is a form of collective punishment of Nigerians resident in these states. The suspension of internet and telecommunications networks in Zamfara and Katsina states is particularly egregious and suggests a disturbing trend, especially given the growing restriction of civic space in Nigeria. Shutdowns should never become an entrenched practice in the country," end quote. They're indirectly raising a question about the legality of the order. That's Serap. Serap is saying, under what circumstances does the NCC have the power to order a blanket denial of service on an entire state without a court order and without a state of emergency declaration? Then along with the legal questions, there's also the cost-benefit analysis. These shutdowns have a cost. They affect the economy across the state. SMEs and companies are losing business. People are out of work. It's harder to access life-saving services. Is this the only way to stop the terrorists? Is all of this unavoidable? Were there other more surgical options with less collateral damage to innocent Zamfarans? Talk to me, Lagos, 0700-993-993-993. What do you think about Serap's objection to the shutdown in Zamfara? What do you think about Governor Matawale's claim that the shutdowns have weakened the bad guys who are now pleading for amnesty? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We've got four stories down so far. You can talk about all four or you can talk about one. Anonymous is on the line. Welcome.
Yes, please. I just want to speak of the Happy Trigger policeman.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Yes. I feel that the policeman needs to go through a psychomedical evaluation before being recruited, because most of them are, the recruitment process is actually the problem.
Okay.
If the policemen are properly evaluated before they are recruited, then we will not have most of them being happy trigger.
Okay.
In fact, the issue is that if you look good, most of the stations, you find some of them drinking shekpe. That is, what do you call it, this alcoholic drink.
Okay.
Some even smoke
okay.
before going out. So what do you expect when they get to a situation that appears to be volatile, or maybe they did not really get what they want? They will start shooting.
Hmm.
And that is the result.
Hmm. All right, Anonymous, thank you very much for calling. We've got comments here on WhatsApp. Sean says, Sandra, that wasn't a lady. That was a guy using a voice app to disguise as a female. I had my suspicions, but I didn't want to accuse anybody falsely. Then Sean goes on to say, when we say to maintain the status quo, had Lagos and Rivers started collecting the VAT before the ruling? If yes, they will continue. But if no, the federal government will continue to collect it. Secondly, remember the phrase, I will shoot and nothing will happen. Same might or will happen in this case, as the policeman in question will be moved to another location in the country and case closed. Sean, with that message there, Sean, thank you very much for calling us, for sending us us your message, sorry, on WhatsApp. Let's take a look at more messages we've got here. The shutdown of telcos is funny. It's as if we have forgotten that human communication does exist. What makes them think criminals cannot pass the same info through face-to-face communication? But it's not just telcos they shut down. You know, they also shut down a lot of movement in the state. So no more Okada, cars can't buy a lot, can't buy past a certain amount of fuel, certain quantity of fuel. Cattle markets have been shut down. So they did a number of things, you know. Sandra, I wish NEPA will miraculously give me light by 5 p.m. I listened to a tax pro from PwC on another station this morning. By the time yours finishes by 5 p.m., Nigerians' ears will really open. All this true federalism talk will quiet. There's so much misinformation right now, thinking state will super benefit from rushing to start collecting VAT. But from what I heard today, that is not going to be the case at all. Well, thank you very much for your message. You didn't leave your name, though, but we appreciate you sending your message in. Let's take a look at another message here. Sandra, I'm in support of NCC shutting down communications. SARAP should please let the military do its operations and let's get rid of terrorists out of Nigeria. Since it's not permanently, it's just temporary for now. Please, SARAP, let them do their job. You didn't leave your name, but thank you very much for sending your message in. CP Odumoshu of Lagos State Police is a man who I admire so much, who is after my heart, and he has brought his wealth of experience and sanity to bear in police operations in Lagos State. He should keep it up. He has done the needful by having the culprit cop dismissed from service via orderly room trial and handing him over for prosecution. The law should take its full course. That's a message from Jude Anyaun. Jude, thank you very much for your message. Jude also says, I've been following the trend of events on this tax matter between River State and FIRS from the day that it started. There's no much ambiguity on the statement given by the Federal High Court Abuja that River State and FIRS should maintain the status quo. I'm not a legal luminary, but when a learned man of the bar of Michael Zekome standing comes up with a clear position on its interpretation, it settles it once and for all. The Constitution is not made for everybody to interpret, as your first caller said. Any position in contrast to this is an aberration and an unfair thought. Jude, with that message still. 99.3, hello.
Hello. Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Yes, Daniel on the line again.
Daniel, welcome. Go ahead.
Yes, I quickly want to talk about the killing of the 18-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And this morning, I read that the CP has quickly done something about dismissing the guy.
Yeah.
And say that he's going to face the prosecution.
Right.
I think that's very good. But I see double standard in the way the CP Odumosu has been operating.
Okay.
Thank God. In fact, I've clearly wanted to mention this before you mentioned it. During the issue of Yoruba rally, look at the series of statements, even coming from the CP himself. He quickly jumped the gun, quickly went to the to conclusion that this was what happened, but after forensic, after investigation or autopsy, it kept quiet. And at the end of the day, shifted the blame on somebody else, accusing one of the. In fact, it's somehow, and I cannot fathom how why our police system has been like this. And I'm very sure if the guy has been a senior police officer, CP quickly did wouldn't have been done. I'm very sure of that. The one that we read about, the one that got his pistol missing while having allegedly having a sex rumble with one of his girlfriends. What happened? It was transferred to another place. In fact, this double standard will never help us. It will never help us. And with the issue of stamp duty, well, let's see how the governors are going to go about it. And as I said earlier in the issue of VAT the other time, that it's all about consumption. How do we mention consumption? When somebody at the headquarters will be the one that will pay VAT, whereby every other place where their product is being consumed is not being checked, or you know, take a cognizance of how many are the people that actually consume there. So there are so many complicated issues, and just like I'm going to keep to time by 5 o'clock and see what the expert I go to say on this thing. It's very, very important that we learn. It's not about this restructuring. Restructuring where? The issue of restructuring has not started. All these governors are just coming in for their own personal benefit.
Daniel, thank you very much for calling. The National Industrial Court threatened to charge the NARD ESCO with contempt. I'm sure you know that the National Association of Resident Doctors is currently on strike. But like I told you 2 weeks ago, the federal government went to the industrial court and the court ordered both sides to suspend hostilities. This has been interpreted to mean that the striking doctors should return to work. But apparently, they haven't. So now the court has threatened to find the ESCO in contempt. If so found, they could face jail time. But the NARD says it doesn't mind. We heard from Dr. Adejo Arome, the NARD vice president. He was on The Big Heart Fact last month, you remember. And in response to the court notice, he said, quote, "As for the court notice, no one really cares. Let them expand their prison and arrest all of us. It has reached the point that no one cares about whatever happens. Let them meet our demands. We will not go back to work unless our demands are met. This court notice will not make us change our minds," end quote. Strong words. Seems the battle lines are drawn and there may be no going back. Tell me as well what you think about that, this industrial court's order to suspend the strike and the NARD daring them to arrest all of them. What do you think about that? We'll take a final call and then we'll switch gears and bring you Madam Landlord. On Madam Landlord, we're going to talk about real estate fraud. 99.3, hello.
Good afternoon, President Sandra.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
My name is Prince Wyatt. Calling from Amuodo.
All right, turn your radio off, then go ahead.
I'm trying to do that. Okay now?
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Thank you. You see, number one, industrial court, that said the doctors should go back to work. I think this will be the court. Then they will be the court. I want them to do that. But okay. We in Nigeria, we are with them. We are bringing to Mr. President to just order the Minister for finance to leave this money and let them pay these people off. That for that. And for the other topic you talk about, the statical remain. You see, I think this.